Hello everyone, I'm Logan and I'm an addict. Welcome to this workshop entitled Restored to Sanity, Steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can we have the reading of We Do Recover at the podium, please? I just do what they tell me.
My name's Kevin. I'm an addict.
Kevin.
We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. We either go on as best as we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
I would like to introduce the first speaker, Charlie G. from Alive and Kicking, group of NA in the Chesapeake and Potomac region of NA.
Thanks, Mark. Give me a hug.
Hi. Hi, my name's Charlie. I'm an addict.
Charlie.
Only 4, 5, 6, and 7? Come on. I got my timer on, so I'll shut up in 25. Okay, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So I mean, the title is being restored to sanity, right? I guess through. So that takes us to like my 2 and 3. The first idea about sanity was in my 2, right? We were just talking about this the other day. Oh, so my clean date's 7/6/04. I just had 20 years last month. It was pretty exciting. Yeah, I went on a victory lap. Where I live, there's like, I live down in D.C., right? And there's like 12 areas in our region. And so like within like a couple blocks of my house, there's like 4 areas. And it's not out of resentment. There's just that many meetings. And I have like the least time at most of them. So it's like really weird down there. And we were just talking about the second step stuff. Like, because after some time, like getting caught up in obsession and compulsion is not totally normal. I just started over on my steps again with my sponsor because 20 years. I was like, I'm going to start over. Or I didn't want to start over, but I wanted to do steps. And he's like, you can start at 1. I was like, all right, fucker. So, but it's interesting. And so like I came to this understanding that, you know, complacency. And but we discussed this, like we're both kind of complacent now. There's a lot of really good shit in our lives, both of us. We're both tremendously happy, which is to say there's like way less unmanageability. But denial, complacency is the denial of the unmanageability that I still have. Like I still got some, right? And I can usually walk around and go to like this cool shit that I got this in my life, and I go to this cool shit that I got this in my life, and I go have this cool relationship that I got and ignore the unmanageability is still there, right? It's kind of the same thing. I mean, NA just was like, you could stay clean and you can have whatever level of recovery you want. You could stop somewhere. Like, it's up to me. I think the best thing about NA for me was that I got a redo on who I wanted to be. I didn't get a redo on other things. You know, sometimes I shut the door on some of opportunities in my life. Thankfully, I didn't shut the door on a lot, but there's some. But the redo I got was deciding the person I wanted to be, which is kind of ironic because you remember being a kid and just be like, I wonder who I am. I wonder what do I like? Like that is not, none of that shit matters. Like I got the NA and I got to actually like pick the type of person I wanted to be. And then through the steps and well, basically making mistakes over and over again. And then like gradually becoming who I thought I wanted to be. And in simple terms, but I'll start by talking about the fourth step. You know, so the question is like, restored to sanity. I don't know about restored, but like, am I sane? Like at this point in moment, I have nothing. I'm not acting or thinking on obsession and compulsion. So I guess you're looking at, I'm restored to sanity right here. I mean, I might change in 5 minutes. I might start obsessing on something, but I don't, I just wrote too. Yeah, and it's ironic, you know, that complacency. I ignore more obsession and compulsion than I realize I have, right? It's not like it used to be. I was just talking to a homie up there. Like, I ruined my body from exercise and manual labor because I used it as therapy. I was unable to deal with the consequences of my life throughout recovery. I don't got shit to say about my using, really, because my using was a short period. I've been clean 20 years. I got addicted to other shit while I was clean. I lived in Houston, Texas, and there's these massage places everywhere. They're open all the time. You got $50. And like, man, when life wouldn't feel good, that was a great way to like feel better. It was instant gratification. And then I got, trust me, I was like, wow, that's a solution that I didn't know I needed. You know? And there was lots of stuff. So at some point, like I was really good at obsession and compulsion. At this point in my life, like I've gained successes because of that. But at one point I just had to point it at something that wasn't gonna kill me. And then sometimes accidentally it got pointed at something that was gonna kill me. I was like, how the fuck do I get out of this? So the one thing that I always used to like, I was like, wow, if I just do this work until I'm so fucking exhausted, I probably won't make any other terrible choices for the rest of the night. And I go to bed, right? Well, now I have no cartilage in my shoulder, you know, it kind of worked. Like, it got me through that period, and now I'm at a place. It's also, I do want to say one thing. It was all a setup. Like, by the time I was 18 years old, I had become a monstrously horrible person, and I was set up for it. Because no one, now I realize this, I was surrounded by no one who knew how to act like an adult. Like how to take responsibility for their lives, actions, and what they wanted out of life. No one around me, none. We were working class people. Dudes went to work, they came home, they took pills, watched TV until they passed out. Like, that's not what I want for my life, right? But that was like, you know, so I grew up and I got clean and I went around other people. I remember being with this couple, these two professors. They take me out to lunch, and like they disagree, and I'd be like, "Oh, here it comes." That was it. It was my first example that I had been around two adults that were in a relationship, and a disagreement didn't turn into something fucking horrifying. That was it. That was the first time. So, and what's interesting is, like I'm saying, I was set up. I had so much trauma. I like that chick last night. She identified trauma better than I have my entire life. I think the younger people come in and they're like, they identify their trauma better, right? Like, I don't even, like, things are, and there's obvious shit, right? Like, molested by a teacher and then molested by another teacher. And then, but no, there's like daily trauma. Like, I wanted to get high and had to like degrade myself to do it. I had to go to a place that I didn't want to go. I had to put myself in danger that I knew was there, and I had to do it anyway. That's all fucking trauma. But, you know, at no point for the last, like, I don't know, first 10 years of recovery, I didn't realize that was trauma. You know what I mean? So, like, really, my whole life was trauma. I think, like, a lot of people, but, you know, even my mom, who's, like, a normal person, she is. She's a normal, happy, healthy person. And she had, she's like, I went through this. I was like, yo, that is fucking trauma. She's like, that's just work. I'm like, no, that was that's trauma. That's traumatic. And that isn't to say that, that's neither to cheapen it or make it a big deal, but I got to own it. I got to accept that those experiences make me who I might be. Not necessarily. I mean, it's not this. It's not simple math. Like, oh, if you do this and then you experience this and you become this. But it has influence, right? And then the only wrong thing to do is not acknowledge the shit that I've been through. And that most of it was... So we're talking about the fourth, fifth step. I tell you, it was a setup, but that's the last I'm going to mention that. I am the source of all of the problems I ever had. When I got molested by one teacher, it was because he was giving me drugs. I didn't know... Okay, in all fairness, I didn't know he was going to do that. So, but I put myself in other situations. Okay, so I did that, right? I got high, and so high, and then he molested me, and then like, blah, blah, blah. But then I kept using and would put myself into similar situations, having already experienced that. Holy fuck. So, it's 20 years later, like it's all right. But there was another teacher, I didn't even think about this for a while. He would come over, he'd ask me to come over to his house and we'd watch porn together and get me high. I was like, and then he never touched me, but it was weird. And I never thought that was a problem because he never like penetrated me. It's like, this is my standard. Unless you like, if you're not lopping up off a limb, like I'm like, I guess it's okay. But I set myself up for all that shit, right? And it's important for me to see where that is. But it's clear, like today, all right, 20 years later, I got like a great marriage. I had one that failed. But now I got this great marriage. We got a healthy relationship. I got great relationship with my in-laws. Like I can list, like I got a great job where I have a tremendous amount of responsibility. It's just a lot of good stuff. The problem I have, and it scares the shit out of me, is I am not consistently able not to do something that I could suffer consequences for. Like, I'll walk around for a couple years without saying some dumb shit at work, and then one day I'm just like, all right, I'm gotta go to HR. I don't know why I said it, I thought it was funny. It's not fucking funny. It's fucking crazy though, because it's like, I went from being like that all the time, a free spirit, right? Like the idea that they would pay me money to do a job and it wasn't because of like who I am. Like they're paying me not to be myself. That's the stupidest fucking thing on earth. But you know, it's to do something. They don't want me, they want what I do. And so, you know, it took me a long time to like realize that like maybe try to like rein it in and don't be such a free spirit everywhere. Maybe put on masks at certain places, and we call them masks, but like, you know, they ain't paying me to be myself. You ever want to do that? Go on YouTube, try and make some money then. So it ain't like that. So I went from being really chaotic in the first 6 years of recovery. I was chaotic. My man was saying earlier about always wanting to get a rush. I was addicted. I was really addicted to a surprise rush. Like I acted out on sex a lot, and the best way to get me to hook up was to surprise me. You know, if it was a surprise. If you wanted, like if there was an adrenaline rush and it was like out of nowhere, like, hey, you want to do that? And then I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And I found out later that that's how brain chemistry work. The dopamine stuff that we always talk about, that's not a feel-good chemical, it's a better-than-expected chemical. When it's better than you expect, you get more of it. And that was like, holy, that was like my shit the whole life. So I wore myself out, even in recovery, on blowing through adrenaline. Like, I achieved all my goals and more, right? And I did that because I can get myself excited about shit. But like, now that I'm older, I'm trying to be productive without functioning off of adrenaline, and I'm finding myself coming up short, right? And I don't really have a solution for that. Things are all right, you know? So anyway, so we write down all this shit, I'm gonna tell you a couple things specifically. Like a lot of it was, you know, basic shit. I had more resentments at other people than I knew what to do with. I was that kid laying in bed at night, not sleeping, and not able to sleep because I replayed everything that I ever thought about every single night. And you know that it's funny that stopped when I did my first third step. That was the first time I got relief from that. And you know, it happens when it happens, but the first time I did a third step is when I got relief from that. And then, you know, I do my fourth. The first time I did a four, I forgot about it. I did with a dude that's here. I'm not gonna break his anonymity. I'll just say that his name starts with an L and he don't remember shit about nothing. The best thing about him was when I told him my fifth step, he's looking at me, right? But I know he was thinking about like how the universe began combined with like a Bob Seger song, right? Yeah. So he ain't gonna tell no one nothing, right? He ain't gonna tell that. He'll nod. He'll be like, see? But then 2 days, he ain't got it, you know? So it's cool. So if you are a criminal, you got some criminal shit and you wanna share it, I'll tell you who it is. I'll hook you up. You can tell him and it'll be all right. But he pointed out one thing to me, and this is, we're talking over 20 years ago. That was before my clean date. I got clean in the 90s in Johnstown first. he was my first sponsor, and it was the womanizing. And it was like talking about the consequences of the shit, and he points to it, he's like, see? Because it showed a pattern. But I was 18, and like I saw. And so what I find interesting today is, it's not that I'm not restored to sanity necessarily. I'm not living recovery. I'm literally a different person. My body has changed chemically since I stopped using drugs. It has. And all of ours has. The drugs got chemicals doing all kinds of shit. Got liver fucked up. Like, I am literally a different person. I've aged 20 years though. And I gotta tell you, I don't have the same libido. The first, you'll lose me quick when I'm 18 and you're like, all right, no sex in the first year. Like, come on. I'm not doing that. So I'm just sharing my experience. I had a sponsee once that he couldn't be in a relationship without relapsing. That wasn't how I was. I could go out with someone and like, all right, I'm going to a meeting. I'll see you later. Like, I was still doing my meetings. I was still staying clean. That shit didn't help me. So I got to recognize that sometimes in here, people are different. And the way people do relationships was different too. And for me, that was never really a threat to my clean time. But I found out, man, why it took like maybe 15 years, maybe a little less, over 10, for me to realize that everything I ever understood about women, I identify as a man, about women was absolutely wrong. Not about who they were, but about my relationship to them. I understood I could be polite. You know what I mean? It's subtle. It's complicated. But there was like a lot wrong. And I had a lot of wrong examples. And a big part of my recovery in the last 5 years, I guess, has been like really re-looking at my life and the way I see people. And especially that understanding between me and women. And I'll say it, don't come up to me like, Charlie's a nice guy now or none of shit. I'm not a piece of shit, still a piece of shit. I'm married and I have never cheated on my wife. I was actually worried at some point about being in a relationship with someone I cared about because I had never not cheated. So I was like, I'm just gonna do it again. I have never cheated on my wife. I have never sent a text message that could lead to that. I just realized I learned a lot of shit because I just didn't see a lot. You know, I didn't get it. Like, everything I did, I had a willingness towards self-destruction. I just saw something. It's like we gotta figure out the difference between willful self-destruction and not taking responsibility for our lives. Right, because that's what I'm talking about is going through and going to the character defects, is taking personal responsibility for my life, for me, for what I'm a part of, my recovery. Right, that's one thing, but neglecting that is not the same thing as willful self-destruction, having a self-destructive will. I definitely had a self-destructive will, and I probably had a more self-destructive will than I had lack of responsibility. I find it. I tend to do better with not being negligent on personal responsibility versus just being fucking, things are going good. Let's see what happens with this. I don't know, man. And later in life, as I stayed clean a long time, it became less frequent, so it became more obvious. And so I'd be with someone and I'd send a text message to someone else and I'd see it and I'd just be like, that was, I trained dogs for a living kind of, right? You don't correct the behavior once they're out here doing this. You start back here when they looked at it. They looked at it for more than 3 seconds. I fix like aggressive dogs sometimes. They're over here being aggressive. It's too fucking late. Back when the dog looked over here for more than a second was when in his mind he decided he's going to handle a problem. So I got to fix this place first. And so is that fucking first text message, that type of shit. So I figured it out. I figured some stuff out, right? That's being restored to sanity because I was able to finally see shit. So it's, I feel, for people, like, I don't know someone with less clean time than me. It took me a long time to mature and to get better, to not be addicted to chaos and all that stuff. And it's funny too, because like, in a way I was a good person. Like, I wanted to help people, but I also wanted to get like an adrenaline rush on some shit. You know what I mean? I was a conflicted person. And And what I'm saying partly about being older is like I can't take credit for not acting out on stuff because I don't have the same drives that I used to have. I just stayed clean long enough to outlive the physical nature of whatever monster I was. But it worked. No, really, it worked. Shit is amazing for me right now. You know, one of the things I learned though, they were like, you go to a meeting, you talk about what it was like, and then how recovery was and what it's like now. And then if I share about what stuff's like now, people give me dirty looks because they don't like hearing awesome shit unless it's like getting my shit back. And I asked other people, other friends in recovery, they're like, oh yeah, don't share about all the good stuff in your life. People will hate on you. So they're like, all right, that's fine. The important thing though, you know, with the disease, my disease was lack of freedom, right? And then I get into recovery and I didn't have that much more freedom. I didn't have to act on obsession compulsion to use drugs. I still had other obsession compulsions, right? Like freedom, and this is where I talk about like after 20 years and a little bit less, but like everything that I have in my life isn't that it's so great. It's not because of the thing. It's because of the freedom to have the thing and to take care of the thing. It's the freedom. Like I couldn't travel, right? I was worried. I thought I could never live overseas because I'm on antidepressants since I was a little kid, right? Because I was a fucked up kid. So, and then it turns out, no, I figured out a way to do it. I lived in Kazakhstan for 4 years near Siberia. And I went to meetings on Skype. This was before COVID. And there was a meeting in Scotland, the Highland Islands group. They're still meeting. And I would go on there for about 4 years. I stayed clean and recovered over there. And attended those meetings and I talked to my sponsor. It wasn't the most, my recovery didn't bloom in isolation over there, but I got by. I learned a lot. I came back and got a lot of fucking therapy and worked with my sponsor and then was able to incorporate all the shit I learned. This whole just staying clean and not having a pickled brain really gets me really far. But for me, it took a while. Like it took some years too, right? So, I've done 4 to 5 a couple times now. I only did 6 and 7 once, and so I'll tell you about it. This dude says to me, how's my time? So I get this guy, I'm in Florida at the time, Jupiter, Florida. And this dude says to me, okay, I want you to write on 7 deadly sins and how they apply to your life. I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna be open-minded, and I'll do it, right? And then what I found out later is the 7 deadly sins is just some stuff the church made up. It's not directly, like you'll find it in the Bible, but it's not actually a religious thing. It's just like the Pope like decided these were the ones. There were more that aren't included in the ones we have now. There's a missing one. One of the missing ones is taking joy in someone else's pain. That used to be one. That was like one that they were like, no, we'll just leave that one out. I don't know why. Look it up though. You can find it. You can find that shit. There was a bunch of other stuff. So like there's more, and being a hater was like one that they were like, nah, we'll let that pass. And so I did it. It was open-minded for me because I don't have that faith. I don't do that faith. And so I was like, okay, we'll do it. It worked. It fit really well. But it's there's not a whole lot to say about it. I mean, that is all the stuff, the lust. It was just, you know, the way the patterns of my behavior and thinking emerged in my life, man, they just took me forever. They took what it took, you know? I'm always happy when I see people in the meetings and people in recovery, and they recover faster than I did. I just assume everybody recovers faster than me. And it wasn't for lack of effort. I went to meetings. When I moved to DC, I already had 10 plus years and I did a 90 and 90. I ain't fucking around. Well, I lived in Johnstown in 2016 after I came back from Kazakhstan. And the hardest thing I ever experienced, I had a dog and he died. And that was the hardest thing I've ever had. So there were 3 people that just, I couldn't talk. I was hyperventilating for 2 weeks. And they would just pick me up and take me to meetings. I couldn't share because I cried every time I shared. And I'm choked up now about the people, not the dog. Two of them, they were asking me to sponsor them. They sponsored me, basically. They're all dead. The woman, she's using, but she's alive for now. I don't know what she's doing. But the 2 dudes, these 2 young dudes, they were dope, man. They were cool guys. And they took me to these meetings, acted like I was helping them. And they fucking OD'd. They both died from drugs, like, within 6 months of that. You know, and it's like, it scares the shit out of me. On twofold, like, I'm chaos and personified. So, like, I'm liable to be clean and have some shitty life when I have the opportunity to have, like, really awesome life. It's really fucked up. They're like, this was one of the problems was, like, growing up, I didn't see, like, what my choices really were for myself. Really, right? I only saw what I saw. And so I didn't know what the choices were. No one said that, I'm gonna fuck you up. I got a job now where my place, they pay my taxes. I don't have to pay them. It's true. I worked so hard to get to that shit. I worked as like a slave for 5 years without being, and then they were like, all right, you're in. And I took it. Look, man, I didn't even think that was an option. You know, I bet people, you don't even know there's jobs that do that shit, right? That's fucking crazy. I got a wife that I actually respect. I spent my whole life being with a woman trying to tell myself I respected her and then trying not to admit to myself that I didn't really. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. I wanted to, but I didn't. And it was because I wasn't selective. If you look good, that was enough. And in fact, the crazier you look, the better. No, it's true. I don't say. It was what I, wait, some people like blue and some people like red. That's why I like blue. I don't know. So, but the recovery part is being honest with myself about the consequences of my choices, not just for me, but also for others, right? This, really what I'm talking about is all first step stuff. I couldn't stay stopped until I became crystal clear on the fact that anytime I got high on anything, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I don't necessarily die. I don't necessarily go to jail, but it just doesn't fucking work. I had to get that evidence, right? Someone was talking about learning vicariously at the thing earlier. Yo, dog, that's advanced recovery. If I could come to a meeting and learn from someone else's shit, that is not something this recovering addict was bred to do. I had to get hit in the head, right? Not only learn from my own mistakes, but like get hit. And like learn from someone else. Like I could do that now. That's crazy. And I love it. So, yeah, I got this woman that I actually respect totally and completely 100%. And we treat each other good. I do the opposite of everything that I want to do. And it's just about being thoughtful. It's really not a lot, but it's inconvenient. Everything right in for me is inconvenient. It's not what I want to be lazy. I want to be lazy and fucking be lazy. I don't know. I want to feel good and be lazy, I guess. I don't know. And then like to get anything good, feeling good and being lazy ain't going to get me there. That's it. It's just easy. I don't know why it took me so long to get that. I don't know what the information coming in was, just not clear. Anyways, so I mean, I'm gonna show, let my friend come in. But yeah, I mean, six was a lot easier. Every time it got better, like every time I did 4, 5, 6, 7, like because I stayed clean and I had lots of patterns of bad things, and I was always able to do like help, like not me, but through my working the rest of the program, I was always able to clear out some, right? And then I could see the rest a little better because God knows I didn't stop for no reason. So, I mean, just staying clean. I mean, holy shit, like I feel like I really do feel like I figured shit out, but like it was from the program, it was nothing I did, you know, and I keep watching people that go through their experiences, new and old, and like, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot, it gets real, sometimes it gets real fucking subtle. I mean, it depends. Like, if I don't care about if I'm complacent about the level of unmanageability I have in my life now, I could be good here, but holy shit, if it's this good already, like, why not, right? I owe it to myself. I owe it to the people that trust me today in my life. There's people that trust me today that never saw me getting high. They have no reason not to trust me, and I betray them if I choose not to recover to the best of my ability. And that's real for me. I mean, it's gotta be real for you, but it's real for me, right? All right, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks. Oh, microphone.
There's a microphone. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, hi. So we're not that far from each other. It's true. There's like four areas in DC. Damn, that's hot. Okay. There's like baby dragonflies. Listen, I am HR. What kind of, is that sane? I think so. Yeah, so like, I try to think of like checkpoints when I share. I don't try to think of anything else because I like to try to be like a conduit for something, right? A message. Damn, hot. How did you stand here? Okay. Yeah, I'm a move around, but I don't talk and move very well. Can I just do this? Okay. I can't. I'm gonna do the best I can. Anyway, yeah, so I try to think of like, you know, some things to kind of keep me on track because I don't keep the thoughts in my head very well. And like the way I wanted to open this was by telling you that like four is where I take responsibility. And I've taken a lot of responsibility and I've gotten really good at it. I like erring on the side of, I still struggle with taking too much. You know what I mean? Like offering an apology just to placate, just to make peace. Oops, okay, that's gonna be a problem too. Anyway, yeah, I take a lot of responsibility. I take responsibility for this moment. And the moments that begin after I'm done speaking, but you can blame my higher power for anything that comes out of my mouth, okay? Just in case it goes badly. You know, because I'm being a conduit. So anyway, yeah, so I'm like a minute away from finishing a second, fourth step. So this felt like a good topic. And also, step seven is, my favorite step, so you know, it's the range in there. It's probably my favorite four steps. Of course, you can't get there without one, two, and three. And that, like my friends shared, like there's a lot of step one in there. There's definitely step two in there. We're literally talking about being restored to sanity, and then step three. Step three is also where the obsessive thinking at night keeping me awake stopped. And it's also when I stopped stealing. It's also like in a day. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't take my will back about assorted things, you know, through my recovery. But in step three, that was like when I made that first decision, when it really struck me that like my higher power, I didn't need to know what it was. I decided I just didn't want to care. Because I'm like somebody who needs to know why and who, and I need to know everything. That's part of that compulsive, you know, thinking at night and staying awake. So anyway, I decided I didn't need to know, and then when it struck me that my higher power just wants me to not harm myself or others, it made a lot of things easy. Like obsessing at night was insane. I'm not solving any problems. I'm not doing anything that's making anything better, and I'm only harming myself. I might even be harming you off of that because I might be taking something you said earlier that day and twisting it. You know what I mean? So when I realized that, it helped me. It started to help. That's where the help really got going, where like my restoration to sanity began, just as, I mean, that's the steps really are in order for a reason. Me acknowledging that somebody created a thing and I don't have to nitpick it apart and I don't get to go, yeah, for y'all, you know what I mean? But I'll make my own order. That's some shit I would do. That's sanity, you know, that's evidence of sanity for me. So I didn't say this, but my clean date is June 23rd, 2011. So it was just, what year is it? 13. I did celebrate. It just, the years really do start to blend when you're in the teens. Anyway, I got clean when I was 22. It was also short. We had a lot of parallels. I wanted to get up here and just say what he said. yeah, but like, I really, I didn't know. I can't tell you that I was sane before. You know what I mean? The only thing I really nitpicked when I got here was the restoration part. And that wasn't even my idea. That credit goes to Stephen, who H from my area, who is supposed to be here any minute. You missed my credit. So anyway, he said that one time and I was like, oh damn. Yeah, how am I being restored? I've never had sanity. Like, my sanity was, okay, so, you know, sanity. Like, in step two, in the basic text, there's a line that I really love that says, I didn't even used to love it until I realized, like, you know, when you read and you're like, oh, damn, and it hits different the next time. So you hear step two read every 12th week in a home group like mine for 13 years because it's a step meeting. We read the basic text and you hear that line over and over again, and sometimes it means something and, you know, it hits. And so when it hit, I was like, I fell in love with it. And that line is the one that says, you know, it would be insane to, like, I'm not quoting perfectly, but it would be insane to ask for a fatal heart attack, right? And I didn't really ask for one, but I did ask to essentially die so that I could live. So what I mean by that is that when my best thinking was that when I was, and guess what, I wasn't wrong because I'm here, right? But not a lot of people make that, you know, I couldn't have called it, right? I should be dead. So many times over. Anyway, I had this notion that, like, I can't live this life until I understand what the hell gratitude is. And I wouldn't have phrased it that way, but I could have told you that it just wasn't a word in my... I knew something was missing. I know now what that was. It was not just gratitude, but it was humility as well. Which is why 7 is my favorite, but hopefully I will meander over there before the time is up. Yeah, my brain is... And then you add anxiety and it's like flashes of blacking out, and then, you know what I mean? Anybody relate? Okay. We're doing the best we can. So anyway, yeah, my best thinking was that I was going to pursue anything and everything that could kill me, you know, essentially, so that I could, like, basically fuck around and find out, you know, what was really missing. I had this sense that I just didn't value my life and it would never be worth living until I did. And then I read a book, which I won't endorse because I guess it's outside and stuff. I really want to, so if you want to know what book I'm talking about, talk to me after. But yeah, there's this book and it was an autobiography and I read it, I want to say I was 14 or so. And I didn't understand the message then. I've reread it 3 or 4 times since then. And it's like, that message was totally lost, which was essentially, you know, a message of recovery. And instead, I guess I didn't totally lose it, but I looked at it as a how-to manual. So my best thinking was, do what this guy did so I can die, so then I can come back and then care at all about my life. Think of it as being worth anything. Think of myself as having worth. And so that's what I did. And when, you know, when I was offered heroin the first time, I was like, it started before that, but it started with cocaine, but, like, pretty much, you know, when I was offered heroin and I was like, I know I shouldn't, but because I'm an addictive personality, right, is the word I used then. But I really did have that. I thought to myself, no, but wait, you could die off of this and then maybe you'll finally find what's missing. Like, very big picture thinking for an addict. I really don't understand how that was a thing. I hope it's not totally unrelatable. But anyway, yeah, I don't mean to sound like a unicorn either. But I took it, and then I was like, the crazy part is, right, you think you're going to be in control of that. Of course I was not in control of that. Like, the very moment I took it, that's kind of the, and there they are. Watch my heart rate go. Okay, that's my sponsee and the guy I was referring to. Anyway, so I took it, and then I was off to the races, right? And, you know, it was 3 years it took. Only 3 years it took for me to hit my knees off of that. So but I also died many times. That wasn't enough. It wasn't the dying and coming back. I didn't get to orchestrate that when that gratitude came around, you know, and so I could have died and not made it back. But I guess what I can tell you is that I felt like it was worth the risk. Do you know what I mean? Because a life without gratitude, a life that's not with any humility at all, is insane. And so that decision might have been insane, but a life spent without what I've gained from, you know, essentially having gratitude that I'm alive, and then what I was able to do with that, what I was helped to be able to do with that, that means restoration to sanity to me. So, you know, there's a line that Just for Today for my clean date talks about, it quotes the step one that says, we didn't come in here, brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, but when we were beaten, we became willing. And that's my favorite. It is my clean date, Just for Today, but, you know, it wasn't written for me, I know. However, it's very relevant because I came in here really beaten. And, you know, it wasn't just off the drugs. It was, again, I didn't need to be restored. I gave you credit for this. I had to realize that, you know, that I didn't ever have sanity. So, like, being restored was weird. Like, what does that even look like? What is the life that who am I trying to really be? I had no concept of that at all. The only thing I really knew, like I said, was this sinking gut feeling that I was missing something. And I definitely, you know, am super grateful to NA that I was able to get a word for that. And it was that gratitude. And I was able to get another word for that very early on, you know, just listening to people talking about step seven. I didn't want anything to do with all the work that was being talked about, but I did want that humble thing that I kept being heard to find in a way that, you know, I don't know if you know this, but like a lot of people in the world, when you try to talk about humility, they really think you're talking about humiliated. You know what I mean? And so it's weird sometimes to have like a conversation with a normie and talk about being humbled, and they think you're like shitting on yourself, and you're like, no, I've been right-sized, like, and it's great. I didn't have to, like, spend my entire time in this room comparing myself to you and to you and to you for assorted things that are inconsequential and don't make me the person that I've, you know, come into understanding I want to be. So, listen, in step four, the first time around, there's a question, and I used to mess that up. I would say it was a section. It wasn't a section, but I made it into a section. And it is literally the question that asks you, what are my values and my principles? Yeah, so I turned that into like a whole section the first time around, because it was just so, again, with the like realizations of things I'm missing, I got to that and was like, first of all, I have no idea. This feels really big, like not something to pass over with a minimum of concern. And second of all, I want to know, because it seems to me that if I knew those things, they would be tools to operate in this world to actually be the person that I think that I will come to find out I want to be. Because, I mean, you can define that person in ways that aren't underlined by principles and values, you know, values you innately hold. Principles are, how I see it, as principles are the spiritual principles that, you know, are how we work the steps or what we gain from working the steps. And they are the tools that help us to essentially like keep our integrity, because they are the tools that help us to align ourselves with those values we say we have. You know what I mean? And so when I act as though I, for instance, value honesty, when I act in that way, it's coming from the principles I'm learning here, and it's helping me be the person that I want to be, which means that I don't want to use drugs, you know, and I don't want to harm myself. I gain like self-worth, and so anyway, I turned that into a whole section, and it was amazing, and that's why I always say that that is my favorite, okay, question in step four. because really it's, there's a reason it starts, it's the question before you get into the whole resentments, it's the question before you do your moral inventory, it's the question before you identify those feelings you have trouble allowing yourself to feel, it's the question before you get into the guilt and shame, the fear, etc., etc. The only argument I have about the suffering guide is I really think that some people like me who come in with no self-worth really need those assets first. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It can be really easy to over-brutalize yourself when you're like, no, yeah, I'm at fault. Like, that's my thing, is to just, like I said earlier, to placate, to pacify. It's just, oh, no, that was me. That was me. Like, I'm taking responsibility for things I didn't do. I still struggle with that. So anyway, okay, it's written in the order. I did say that earlier. They're in the order they are for a reason. And so, you know, we do them in that order. And so I am grateful that that question is there before all that other stuff, because it helps me really get a big picture. What am I really aiming for? I don't know the details yet. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know what I mean? But I do know what my values are. I can dig for them. And if I really put the effort in, that's like a roadmap. That builds a blueprint for where you're trying to go. You don't need to know all the details. It's the same thing I said about my God. I don't need to know the details of my God. I don't need to know. I need to be in this moment. So that's another thing. My restoration to sanity has looked like, you know, some like certain revelations that you sort of have and go, how the hell did I get to this conclusion sooner? One of the more recent ones is that that I've had is that in the second fourth step is that for me, like, you know, I always heard people talk about living in the moment, and that's where the freedom lives. But it's also like the despair really does live outside of everywhere else. Every other moment outside of this one is where I can find despair in a heartbeat. Because future tripping is fear, it's anxiety, and dwelling in the past is regret. It's, sure, a bunch of other things too, but for me, that's what it is. And if I am in this moment, then I'm literally in this moment. It's easier to do when adrenaline is rushing is happening, and that includes like having your heart race and be in your throat. Easier to be in the moment. But but yeah, that's where, you know, my sanity lives in this moment. And being able to find that is something that, again, spirit, like living by spiritual principles, has helped me to be able to do. So anyway, my first fourth step I did share with a sponsor. I did a fifth step. I also shared pretty much that whole fifth step with a person who was becoming my best friend at the time. And it just was, you know, because like our friendship literally started off of like, oh, you're obsessed with yourself enough that you think you're obsessed with the steps, but really you're obsessed with yourself. Uh-huh. Yeah, it started there. Oh, you're a narcissist, you know what I mean? Me too, want to talk about each other and how, like, ourselves, want to talk about ourselves and tolerate each other talking about ourselves constantly for 2 hours every night. Yes, so that's how our friendship started. And yes, he did fall in love with me a couple times. That sucked.
Of course.
Anyway, I know, but so my sanity is thinking that, like, I'm not flirting with you, you know? And I'm not giving mixed signals at all. I'm just being intimate and, you know, bonding, okay? So anyway, my sanity is also thinking that, like, having that stuff completely turned me off. Like, we can't be intimate or bonded. I can't know too much about you to find you attractive, because then you're vulnerable. That's scary, right? That's how it was at the time. So anyway, we got to know each other a lot, and I was able to share so much of my fourth step, if not all of it, with this person. And I thank God for that. Although I didn't realize it in the moment, and I definitely didn't realize it later, my sponsor had to realize that we weren't really made for each other. I didn't get what I needed in that first fifth step, and it took me a long time to call. It took me a long time to identify and be willing to say that things were traumatic. Definitely. Oh my God, so relatable. Hello. Like the first time I had a therapist tell me that something was trauma, And I was like, oh man. I almost walked out. I was so pissed. Because I just wanted to defend the shit out of that person. Anyway, having a sponsor who, you know, really wasn't present, wasn't in the moment. It's not her, you know, it's not her fault. That's probably beautiful for someone else, especially if somebody was really scared. I, like I said, was very self-obsessed. I needed you to validate the shit out of me. I needed you to tell me. I needed that therapist. I needed my best friend. I needed everyone who was willing to say, I may not have been there, but you didn't deserve that. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, I mean, so much of my adult life and my recovery, because the two go together, so far, anyway, thank goodness. So much of it has been spent me seeking validation, but not in that way that is normally meant. What I've been seeking is validation that I went through something. I used to actually go around saying that I liked pity. I didn't understand when friends of mine would say, ew, pity, go, oh God, ugh. And I would be like, what? Oh, I crave it. I want everyone to be like, no, yeah, you got fucked up. Like, no wonder you're the way you are. Because I just felt so fucked up with, like, no explanation. And, you know, I needed somebody to tell me that these things were done. It shouldn't have happened to you. I didn't realize that I could tell myself that, and I wasn't strong enough to be that. I needed to go through steps 4 and 5. I needed someone I could trust. I needed to do 6 and 7 and the steps that precede or are subsequent to that, so that I could start to have self-worth and be able to start to validate my own struggle. So nowadays, like, nobody knows. I very rarely share about how much of a struggle my job is, because I don't need that. I validate myself. When I do, if ever I do, it's just only that recently some things happened that I've been talking about it, so it's making me feel like, bitch, you lying. I'm not lying. I really just don't. I just put my head down and I do it. I'm not going to get into this, but like that. There is a bit of a problem with living in the moment too much, you know what I mean? And just doing what the next right thing. If you don't have forethought, you can wind up, yeah, like being, you know, abused in a workplace situation, being used, being taken advantage of. And you can wind up, especially if you were sort of like groomed into that while having no self-esteem, it makes it difficult, stifles actually gaining any in that particular context. That's what I found. Anyway, so that's another thing that I've been working on. So doing step 5 this time around is where I was trying to get to. It's been 4 years. I've been working on a 4-step for 4 years. My sponsor lives in Florida, and we meet every 2 weeks on the phone and spend 2 hours going over whatever I have written. It's perhaps unconventional, but it's how I now work the steps with my sponsees, and that shit is amazing. Oh my God. Like, I can't even be mad at my first sponsor, because I wrote 3 times 8 hours of material. How are you gonna be present for that? Like, how are you not gonna zone out? I would. You know what I mean? So this has been like amazing. It's like for me, it feels like, you know, people make jokes about getting PhDs and master's degrees in like drug use or whatever. This feels like the PhD version of doing a 4-step. Not even for me, but like my sponsor definitely has a PhD. That's all I'm saying. She got 42 years. She's incredible. I just finished writing in my assets section that really I don't even have, like, if you work a whole 4-step with somebody and it's 4 years long, you could develop resentments toward them. Didn't happen. Wow, that's wild. Also, like, I literally just wrote about how it turns out she really is who I want to be. Not who I want to be, but how I want to be. And that's amazing. I never had that before. I didn't even think that was possible. I just thought that you all talked about that. So, anyway, talked about a bunch of defects. What am I doing on time? Probably over. I'm over it. Just kidding.
6 minutes.
Okay, cool. So that's good for 6. Yeah, so pretty much, like, I talked about quite a few of the shortcomings that I have, like taking too much responsibility for things, pacifying, placating, people-pleasing. Like, oh, I have rebellion, like severe, you know, rebellion. But, like, I just need you all to know something is that, right, we all talk about how defects are really exaggerated assets. Nobody ever seems but me to be taught, maybe that's snowflake thinking, I don't know, but does anybody else agree that rebellion can be good? It can be good. You can, like I said, realize you're being abused in a workplace setting and finally be like, I'm gonna do something about it. And it's not actually because I am finally feeling my self-worth. It's just like, this ain't right. Like, I need to rebel against this. You know what I mean? Discerning those, like teasing it out, it may not be a pure motive. Still gets the job done, right? And that also is true for, like, I became a nutritionist while working that job. I got a master's degree. I got my bachelor's degree while working that job. I opened a business. I ran that business for 5 years, and I did a shit ton of other things, but I had a really hard time with even validating, like, the good things. So anyway, all of that was like wearing an itchy wool sweater to me. I just told you about it, but it's going somewhere. And that is to say that, I did those things in rebellion. You know, it wasn't as much like I'm worth getting a degree. It was, you're not going to pigeonhole me job into doing this work I never wanted to do. I'm going to fucking do what I always wanted to do and, you know, like deal with it. So anyway, rebellion is like one of those things that I just want to say, you can use it as a tool. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. Maybe not in your first year though. Yeah, maybe not. I don't know about that. I'm just kidding. Anyway, there's a bunch of defects and shortcomings I could tell you about, but what I really want to tell you is that humility that I have gained since working step 7 and continuing to work step 7. Another thing on the topic of that rebellion, though, is that just like in step 3, the most critical part for me as a rebel is that I made the decision. I dropped to my knees. I asked for help. It's not that you told me to. It will never work. So as a sponsor, I don't tell my sponsees what to do. I Jedi mind trick them into doing what they need to do. I help them arrive at their own conclusion. So because it's not gonna work otherwise. Like, I had that one sponsor tell me to put rebellion on my defects list and I hung up on her. You know what I mean? You're not gonna tell me it is. Now I'm literally giving a speech about rebellion to you. That's how much I imbibed that as being a huge part of who I am at default. So anyway, the humility I have today is that I can literally get ready to come here and have my dad mocking me for an hour, be right size, you know? Yes, which what he does, it's his birthday, so we'll give him a pass. I can be right sized and come here and not be like, I'm gonna suck. I kind of thought that a little bit, though. But I can sit here and tell you that I feel proud of what I shared with you. And so that's cool. I don't think I've ever said that. I'm proud of who I am today. And my life has been shitty as of recently, but I am not having suicidal ideation. I am not deciding to harm myself in the face of it. I continue to work steps 3 and 7 around that. It's in a sense, all of the others. So that I am not making rash decisions today about things that feel like they're threatening every part of me. So, you know, I showed up. I show up here and I'm, you know, relatively happy. So thanks for letting me share. I'm gonna hug you. Oh, sorry, what you need? Oh, hug, yes. Yep. Totally forgot already. As I do.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Can we have the Just for Today reading from the podium?
Hey, Dave. Just for today, tell yourself just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I'll have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using me to find a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Could we form a circle and close with the serenity prayer?
I seen him making the motion.
Motion of the ocean.
Right?
Trying to get him.
He's doing the morning bump. Get away from you, sir.
God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference just for today.
Did you like how I eliminated your exit earlier?
I can't believe I've never met you.